doing advertising. It turns out that the advertising model didn't work so well. So basically, they're building these tall towers and they're renting the space on top of them to Verizon, AT&T, or whomever. I don't know if it's either of those specific ones, but you know, basically cell phone carriers. Yeah, and that's what the point of them is.
Any other questions? Go ahead, Ann.
And maybe please correct me if I'm wrong. I also understood that this was about access to people who didn't have Wi-Fi in their house. Is that accurate? So that people could, because honestly, Wi-Fi can cost a lot, and most people get their Wi-Fi just off. I mean, not they don't have Wi-Fi. They have their internet connectivity off their phone. And so my understanding was this was really about expanding access for low cost access or no cost access. If that's incorrect, please correct me. But I would love to know more about that.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the exact questions we had, because, you know, if that was the case, we'd say, yeah, of course, that sounds great. It does not sound like they have any intention of you being able to replace your regular, like, in-home ISP. The way that, and I don't know if it's that it's not possible or if they're not doing it, but basically the signal does not reliably, like, penetrate through walls further than, you know, a couple hundred feet or something like that. So it does not really, you know, it's not, the point of it is not to take money out of Verizon's pocket, which would be really nice if it was. But it's basically so you can have Wi-Fi when you're, like, on the street near a kiosk.
So I guess the only thing I would just want to jump in, and I know Issa wants to jump in too, is that I think that there's a huge number of people in Bushwick who don't have Wi-Fi in their house. They don't have Verizon. They don't have Optimum. They don't have anything except for their phone. Is it going to penetrate every apartment, or maybe yes, maybe no? But
I think
is it going to open up access at least a little bit? And I will mute myself. Thank you so much.
I think
Dustin, I just want to note too that the presentation noted that they saw usage go up during COVID, right? Because there were more school kids at home. So I don't think it was every house in Bushwick, but those in proximity to the pole itself.
Yeah, I think that they did say that they noticed, like, a spike in, you know, all the usage statistics are all anonymized. So they can't say, hey, you know, Joe Brown was in his house watching YouTube for 20 hours. They say, you know, this IP, you know, was in one place using this for a long time. So we're assuming that that's an in-home use. The way that it sounded is that by blanketing this area in 5G, you'll have better access to your own cell carrier, and if you use that as a hotspot or whatever. But they did say in some small instances, it seems like, yes, people are using it at home. But from the presentation, I did not get the feeling that their idea is to give every New Yorker and every Bushwick resident free Wi-Fi courtesy of the city. It would be amazing if that was true, but that is definitely not the case.
Any other questions? Was there anything in the chat? Was it answered? Okay, I think the question in the chat was answered. All right, seeing nothing else, we will move on now to the next committee report, which is Economic Development and Permits and Licenses. And I believe Desmond will be providing the overview for both today.
Yes, hello everybody. So I'm gonna make this as fast as possible. I have to go through January. So on January 24th, Ms. Carrera called a meeting to order in order to thank everyone for attending and she did an overview of the process and procedures for liquor licenses. She gets this manager, if there was anything, Celeste didn't know, but basically in January 24th.
Desmond, yeah, I'm so sorry to cut you off. I think it'll suffice if you just say that that was the SLA like 101 overview and then just save most of the report for the meeting yesterday.
Sure, of course.
Okay, well, yeah, SLA overview. There we go.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go through all the bars that were, or all the establishments that were there yesterday's meeting?
Yeah, just the addresses and the type of establishment, and then the usually it's the hours and the steps. Yeah, they're only three.
Really, really quick.
Yeah.
All right. I'll speak very fast. Also, on the agenda for economic development, Chase, our grad student who is helping us with our economic development policy, he came through. He gave us an update on the policy. He'll be doing actually a presentation, or he'll have a draft ready
by the end of February,
and we'll come before the board, and we'll talk about it.
Let me give them
But it looks at the framework and history of Bushwick, retail survey corridor with recommendations. As far as the liquor license, so we had...
I can give them this.
TCO, 1151 Wilson Avenue. So they came in, it's a restaurant. Their intended sale of alcohol, so they did the community follows up Monday through, their intended sale of alcohol is Monday through Thursday from 12 to 12, Friday through Saturday from 12 to 12, and from Sunday from 12 to 12. So they really don't have any issues, no amplified music, outdoors, and the outdoor space will be closed by 10. Next bar is Gabby Max. It's the LLC, EBA, Nico Macho Taco, 591 Knickerbocker Avenue, restaurant. Their intended hours are as follows: Monday and Tuesday are closed. Wednesday from 11 to 10. Thursdays are closed. Friday through Saturday from 11 to 11. And Sunday from 11 to 10. Outdoor space is listed as open, but it will be closed. The hours will be from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Friday through Sunday, 11 to 10.
I didn't mean to do that, but I did it. Okay.
The next
that's
one
okay.
Is,
I know what I'm going to say.
No one.
I know what I'm going to say.
436 Jefferson Street. It is traditional, I think, Vietnamese cuisine. And. The hours of operations are Monday through Thursday from 11 a.m. to 2 a.m., Friday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 4 a.m., and Sunday from 11 a.m. to 12 a.m. Outdoor space will be operating Monday through Sunday from 11 to 10.
Obviously, they didn't have exposure to it.
They amended the application to include recorded music, karaoke, DJ, and private events.
Who were those women again?
Odette Wilkins.
So the other one is... The Bushwick Bagel House, 299 Wyckoff Avenue.
Theodora Scarrato.
Their intended sale of alcohol hours are stated Monday through Thursday from 8 a.m. to 12 a.m. Friday through Saturday from 8 a.m. to 4 a.m. and Sunday from 10 to 12.
Both of them are excellent.
Business owner informed that the diner will participate in a drinks-to-go delivery service at the store dash in between the hours of 11 to 9
p.m. Which, of course, is the answer to...
And that
reception
is,
in your apartment, and you got to fork over $50 a month.
I guess.
Any questions?
Which
economic development and permits and licenses.
Well, that's very interesting.
Going once.
Well, that's it.
Because going twice. Okay. Seeing none, we will move on to housing and land use. Anne.
This is a committee meeting.
Yes. Thank you. So we had our. Actually, before I begin, I just want to say thank you. I'm very grateful and thankful to be a part of this community and this community board. We had our meeting on January 31st, Tuesday, and it was really just a presentation from Carenza Wood, who is from City Planning, about the carbon neutrality zoning text amendment.
They had
come before us on paper to present to us about basically the Adams this administration's agenda in terms of moving forward in terms of building and all kinds of things. This was a very technical,
way back in
basically a technical situation of trying to align the zoning code with the agency agendas. And so Carenza came back and was presenting to us answers to questions we had asked in October. So a lot of this was about, it was about how to get to carbon neutrality. And so building owners were trying to add something like solar or trying to insulate their building the walls,
anytime they would
they were bumping into zoning problems. So this is trying to reconcile the zoning with that larger agenda. Electric vehicles, where do you put chargers? There are blocks in the zoning code to that right now. And so they're basically looking at trying to resolve these problems. Street pits even are involved in that. So that was really what the conversation was pretty
today.
Much of back and forth about that.
With control and the internet and everything.
Yeah, that was it. The notes are pretty great. They're very straightforward. A shout out to Kim and also Christian and Ben who worked on those notes.
I want to tell these community boards this history because
all of the information was including in that. If folks want to and then we also covered the Linden Street preservation, the historic district, which is amazing.
I
encourage and hope everyone comes next week to the ULURP hearing, it's just the workshop that the Center for Urban Pedagogy is going to be organizing. I think all of us got those three little books. And these are the same people who made those books are going to be running a workshop.
ULURP is complicated.
I think we all have a lot of questions about it. And this is how zoning happens, or not zoning, but changes in the zoning code happen. And these are the presentations that come before us. And I think it would be wonderful if as many of you who are able to do so are able to come on the 23rd and come to this workshop, because I think it would give us so much information that will be useful to all of us.
Oh, workshop. We should have,
and that is it.
So I said to Theodora.
Thank you, Anne. Any questions, housing and land use?
I wrote an email. See you.
Going once. Going twice. All right. Seeing.
Odette.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry.
I want to know the
workshop at 23rd. Where are you going to be?
Sorry, forgive me because I forgot that.
Anyway.
Yeah, it is. Let me just. Isn't it 1349 Gates? It's right next door, basically one block up from where Celeste Camacho are right now. So in the senior center, in that space. Honestly, so as many people as can come would be
through,
wonderful.
Somebody looked at
that's
you
a beautiful place.
Chat.
Thank you very much.
Exactly. So
it's not visible to
all right.
Everybody.
So we'll move on now. That concludes our committee reports, and it's time for recommendations. And I believe we just have two recommendations this evening. We'll start with arts, culture, technology. Dustin, do you want to reiterate the recommendation?
Oh, okay.
Dustin, are you there?
Oh no, where'd he go?
All right, we will come back. We'll move on to the economic development permits and licenses first. Do you want to run through the first let me ask, does anyone need Desmond to run through the hours again, board members?
I think his recommendation isn't going to make that good.
Okay. I don't see any hands. Right, okay, so. All right,
there.
So. Yep. Would the board, anyone on the board like to make a motion for a blanket vote? Ben Tucker made a motion for, there's four of them. A blanket vote on all four. Is there a second?
Second.
Isa, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? So moved. The committee's recommendation was in favor for all with the stipulations above. I believe that there was one establishment that was not present. Is that correct, Kim? Which one was that? 151 Wilson Avenue was not present. However, the committee still recommended, they didn't vote on it. However, they recommend 591 Knickerbocker. They were not in attendance. However, the committee still put the same stipulations as every other establishment that would come before the committee, as the board only has 30 days to review. These are included. It's included with the blanket vote. They were all recommended in favor with the stipulations that the committee usually recommends. Is there a motion for the committee's recommendation of approval with the stipulations referenced in the report?
I make a motion.
Felix Ceballos second.
Okay, Desmond makes the motion. Felix Ceballos seconds. All in favor?
Safety.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Elvina Davis abstains.
Okay, one moment. Yep, I have two abstentions. Anyone else? Abstention or opposed?
Barbara Smith abstain.
Okay. Three abstentions. Motion carries. Thank you, everyone. Going back to the Arts, Culture, Technology Committee, Dustin, are you able to provide a reminder for the recommendation?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
It took a little bit of workshopping to get the words right, so let me do it. Okay. I make a motion I make a recommendation for a temporary moratorium on the new Link 5Gs. Kiosks. Any new ones coming in the neighborhood, we'd like a moratorium on those.
Yes.
With no other, excuse me, a moratorium on installing the 5G antennas and a moratorium on installing any of the actual antennas in the ones that are built until they have done live tests in the other neighborhoods and give us the results for the radio frequency or the RF numbers. We would like new locations for the proposed locations that they sent us that were on Hart Street, Knickerbocker Avenue, Broadway, and Knoll Street. And we want to limit the kiosk to the 44, proposed 44 total for our district. That's on the rep.
Thanks, Dustin.
And is there to ensure no advertising in the residential areas.
Got it. All right. Is there a motion for this recommendation?
Annette, spelling motions.
I second. Zina Boa.
Woo. Okay, one person.
Zina Boa. Name.
Okay, gotcha, Z. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any abstentions?
Here, Isa.
What, do you abstain or oppose?
Abstain.
Okay.
I abstain, and Gyne abstains.
Okay. Uh-oh. I have two abstentions. Any other abstentions? All right. Motion carries. Thank you, everyone. And that concludes our recommendations for this evening. We will now move down to old business. Any old business? Going once. Going twice. New business. Same thing. Going once. Going twice. None. Announcement. Nope. Go ahead, Josh. New business.
Do we have any update regarding churches and development with the city and how CB4 can be used to help them?
No churches responded is the short version of that situation. So the churches, I think, are still trying to figure out what comes next after the pandemic. We, I know, worked with Enterprise to try to get the information on mission-based development to them. But as was referenced earlier through our lengthy discussion on the state of churches in Bushwick right now, many of them don't own their properties, and some that most likely do still have many reservations about working with folks that they don't have a relationship with. So there's a lot of nuances there, but I think that the sentiments were right in terms of wanting to organize and support those spaces. But as we mentioned earlier, there are already spaces to do that. The 83rd Precinct Clergy Council, the Civic Public Safety Religious Committee. Thank you for the question.
All right, thank you.
Annette?
Just to add to that, many of our churches are having a lot of problems with losing their properties. They can't make their rent, and now we're at the point today at the meeting, they were talking about sharing the properties that they do have. Mm-hmm. So things are still up in the air when it comes to our clergy. We need to try and support them a lot more than what we do. Wow.
Thank you, Annette. Any other new business? Seeing none, we'll move on now to announcements. A minute and a half, please raise your hand if you have an announcement, or come to the front and if you're here in person, if you have an announcement. Teresa.
Hello, hello again. I'm Teresa from Sanitation. I will be very brief, but I just wanted to make sure that everyone is aware of the new set out rules that are going to be starting on April 1st. Again, starting April 1st, residents have two options to set out their trash and recycling curbside. They either can put it out in a container of 55 gallons or less with a secure lid after 6 p.m. or they can put it out in a black opaque bag after 8 p.m. So that is a change from the current 4 p.m. time. It will either be, if it's in a container with a lid, after 6 p.m. If it is in a black bag, secured black bag, it will be after 8 p.m. This does apply to businesses as well. Businesses, if they have a secure a container with a secure lid, they are able to put it out 1 hour before closing. If not, if they're just putting it out in bags, they too have to follow the rule of putting it out after 8 p.m. And this needs to be after 8 p.m. but before 12 midnight. So there are going to be flyers, there are going to be mailers sent to everyone's homes. I will share our flyer with Celeste tomorrow. I'll email it to her. But paid media campaigns, everything just to remind you guys over the next month or so before April 1st. But I just wanted to make sure for those that are on the call that you are aware of the approaching April 1st announcement. And that's it for me.
Thank you. And we have a question, Teresa, regarding the grace period for enforcement. I imagine there's going to be a grace period for this.
There actually will not. Technically, we are in the grace period right now because they passed it.
Hey, so. What's the banging? What's the summons banging if you don't do it?
It is, give me 1 second. It is going to be $50 for the first offense, then $100, then $200.
Woo!
So April 1st.
A lot of cash.
April 1st.
All right, thank you.
And that's for everybody. Mm-hmm.
That's for everybody. That's for residents. That's for businesses. Across the board.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, next is Congresswoman Velasquez's office.
Good evening, everyone. Let me try to keep this very brief because I know we're very crunched for time. But on behalf of the Congresswoman, I just want to briefly share some highlights included in the omnibus bill that passed in December that will benefit our district. $153.8 billion for SNAP, which is a $13 billion increase from the prior year. But there's something that we must tell you guys, and that is that the benefits are the emergency pandemic benefits are set to expire March 1st. And our understanding is that those who have received that emergency benefit increases will likely have to reapply for them. So if you receive a notice from HRA, contact your local social services providers as well as your elected officials, and as well as our office, and you can help me out with that. And also, the bill includes $79.6 billion for Department of Education, which is a $3.2 billion increase from the prior year. I know we talked about the very important topic of teenage suicide.
You don't know.
And this bill allocates funds for school-based mental health programs, which the Congressman really thinks is a critical thing that needs to happen to combat this ongoing mental health crisis.
What I put in the chat.
And this gun violence crisis, which is tied to the mental health crisis. Another thing in the bill is $58.2 billion for Department of Housing and Urban Development, which is an increase of $4.5 billion from the previous year. This will help build more affordable housing, as well as expand and protect housing vouchers for nearly 12,000 low-income households. I also briefly just want to talk about the deadline for the SYEP program, the Summer Youth Employment Program, is March 31st. The Congresswoman believes the SYEP program is a great program that gives our young people the skills to enter the workforce. I am an SYEP alumni, so is that advocate for it? Lastly, I mentioned before, we have an event tomorrow night that the Congresswoman will be hosting. It's an Immigration Know Your Rights event. The workshop is it's going to be located at IS 93 in Ridgewood at 6 p.m. It starts around 6 p.m. And the workshop will focus on rights for undocumented people who are here in NYC. Oftentimes, many people who are undocumented feel like they don't have rights, but this is simply not true, and we just want to educate them on their rights. So we encourage everyone to attend this event and spread the word. Thank you for your time, and I look forward to working closely with CB4. Thank you.
Thank you, but just a little reminder, 1.5 seconds, so I gave you enough time.
Sorry.
Theodora.
All right, next we have Borough President Reynoso's office.
Hey everyone. Okay, I don't even have time to tell you about all the things that we've been doing at Borough Hall, because I'm just going to tell you about two events that we have coming up and then a bunch of deadlines that are important. Events first. We're kicking off a series of community resource information events with the Brooklyn Public Library on Tuesday, February 21st. The first one is going to be with the Human Resources Administration, HRA. They're going to be present to provide resources for things like cash assistance, employment services, child support, homelessness prevention. So that's 6 to 8 p.m. on the 21st at the Brooklyn Heights branch at 286 Chapman Plaza. We're going to be doing some of these in different library branches, so stay tuned for that. The next is the Black History Month celebration at Borough Hall. That's going to be on Thursday, the 23rd, from 6 to 9. It's going to, I don't know if you all remember, last year we had a really fun art exhibit called Brooklyn is Africa at Borough Hall. We're going to be doing that again. So this will be the opening, and we're going to have some fun performances and refreshments and stuff like that. Again, that's Thursday, the 23rd, 6 to 9 at Borough Hall. Okay, deadline. We have a grant with the Department of Cultural Affairs that you can apply for through our office if you are an organization that works in the cultural space. That is open now through February 24th. I will drop that link in the chat. Our capital funding applications are also open through February 23rd if you are an organization that is interested in applying for capital dollars.
New York City.
And then finally, just to reiterate what we talked about before, please get your community board applications in. Get your reapplications in if you're a member. If you're a new applicant and I have your application, you should have got an email from me today to schedule. So, you know, I know they're coming in and I'll probably get another batch soon. So if you haven't heard from me yet, don't worry. But I'm excited to talk to the folks who want to join the board, and looking forward to seeing all of the applications, reapplications from the members by the 23rd. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, and you went over, but it's okay because it's you. This is the third time we told them already. So if they don't put it in, you told them, I told them. So
thanks, Lacey. All right, next we have the district attorney's office.
Good evening, everyone. Again, this is Jonathan, and I'll just read two paragraphs from a recent press release that was released today. The Brooklyn district attorney, Eric Gonzalez, today announced that a Bedford-Stuyvesant man who pleaded guilty to attempted murder as a hate crime in connection with an anti-gay attack against two men at a Bushwick bodega was sentenced to 10 years in prison. Both victims were assaulted and stabbed and suffered numerous injuries, including collapsed lungs. District Attorney Gonzalez said this vicious attack on two innocent victims was an intolerable act of anti-gay violence, and today's sentence sends a strong message that we will vigorously prosecute anyone who commits a hate crime. Nobody should fear that they'll be attacked because of their sexual orientation or gender identity. And we are committed to vigilantly protecting the rights of Brooklyn's LGBT community. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Spellin?
This question is for Teresa Cunningham. The new change with the sanitation as of April 1st, does that include any changes in alternate side street parking?
No, the two are not connected.
Thank you.
Okay. Joanna?
Yes, I just wanted to announce that Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, in conjunction with Black Veterans for Social Justice, are sponsoring a Veterans Resource Fair. That's on Friday, February 24th. Between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m. That's at 665 Willoughby Avenue in Brooklyn. And for more information, you can get in touch with 718-852-6004. That's it.
Thank you. Eliseo?
Yes, Celeste. And the lady from the Department of Sanitation, I'm sorry I didn't recall your name, but thank you so much for being here. When you say the containers with a lid, are they going to drag that container onto the garbage truck, or are they taking out the garbage out of the container?
The garbage will be removed from the container, and that's already been something that... Sorry?
Go ahead, Teresa.
Okay. I was just saying that the garbage will be taken from the container, and it has already been noted several times by several residents that workers have maybe had some difficulty in the past with placing it back where it was. So that has been duly noted. The chiefs are aware. It will be a reminder at roll calls for the bin to be placed back, as well as for the lid to be placed back onto the bin from where it was taken.
Thank you so much.
All right, Sue?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Great, thank you. I'm Sue Peters. I'm from a local group called New Yorkers for WireTech. And we have presenters, experts that can go around and talk to your groups, because what's not being told by OTI and CityBridge is the legal state and of just what the health effects of these huge cell towers on our city streets will be. And there's so much evidence for the health effects that have not gotten to the public. And I'll just cite one. 2021, the FCC in Washington, who supposedly protects us from the radiation, lost a case in the U.S. Appeals Court in Washington, D.C. And the court said to the FCC, your radiation limits, your safety limits for human exposure was set in 1996. You cannot keep those limits any longer. And they presented the FCC with 11,000 pages of evidence of health effects on humans and animals below the limit of the FCC. And the FCC ignored it, and the court said, you cannot ignore 11,000 pages of information about health effects. You have to get back to the court. This was August of 2021, and the FCC has not gotten back to the court. So we are not protected by any 1996 limit of the FCC. Our health is not being protected, and it has to get very clear. So if you would like someone, we have experts that can talk to you, and I put in the chat an audio that was recorded, video audio, from Queens Community Board 1, J.
January 25th of this year, and they had OTI and City Bridge present, and then they had three experts on the opposite side. One a 20-year technology lawyer, and the other a leader of a national organization. And the third was a state commissioner from the state of New Hampshire, because the state legislature set up a commission to study 5G, which is in these jumbo cell towers. And the commission studied it for a year. They talked to experts. And the commission said, we're stopping 5G in the state until we know more.
Yes, if you went over a minute and a half, if you want to go through committee, and then we can give a presentation, then we'll call the board and we'll make a, you can make a presentation to the full board in regards to your input.
That would be great. And who do I contact?
So just to be clear, you can submit a request to the board. That request will be reviewed by the committee leadership. My name is Celeste. I'm the district manager. I believe I've received a series of emails. I also contacted multiple community boards in different boroughs prior to the February 8th technology committee meeting where this was discussed. If you were not here earlier, the board has already made a recommendation similar to other boards to put a moratorium before or until OTI can get back to us with safety information. So I think we are more aligned than you think, even though we did not hear from all of the health and safety experts. I would encourage you to also share any additional actions that you're taking in order to lobby on the federal level to make sure that folks are taking this seriously. But absolutely, bk04@cb.nyc.gov is our general email. I will keep an eye out for any future correspondence.
Great, thank you.
All right. I see no other hands. Anything in the chat?
Is that good or not?
You're doing great, as usual.
What? Okay, go ahead, Jewel, from the chat.
Hi, thank you. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity, and I love, you know, that you guys are here together as a community, because community is so important. I am with the Black Spectrum.